Sure. Praise God. Sure, thank God. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Thank God. Sure. Amen. Well, glory deserves praise. Amen. God is so great. Amen. And He's able to do so very many things. You know, I was thinking the doctors can only tell you what they see. You know, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So many, many times we appreciate the medical professionals and all that they're doing, but you know, they can only see exactly what they're looking at. But faith is that ability to see things in a different state, amen, and call them done. And many of us, probably every one of us here, have had an opportunity to be a firsthand witness of what God is able to do. I was thinking of the scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God, amen. Because God's power overwhelms the wisdom of men and the knowledge of men. Well, God is good. Amen. We never thank Him enough for all that He's done. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of Philippians. In the 3rd chapter of the book of Philippians. I love the way God works most of the time. Sometimes we don't really understand the working of God, so we get a little apprehensive, a little impatient, but more times than not, I love the way that God works and the way that God operates. I like it when He surprises me. You know, when I'm looking for something and I'm praying for something, and in my mind I'm saying it ain't going to happen, I just can't see it, and then God intercedes and comes on the scene and turns the impossibility into a possibility. So, and many, many times He does that. But this week, in fact it was today, and God had laid something on my heart, and I was riding in the car. I don't want to keep you standing long, but anyway, I just kind of want to share this. I was riding in the car, and Penny likes the contemporary 93.3. I like it okay, but I like the old gospel. You know, I like the country part. You can take the boy out of the country, but you can't hardly take the country out of boy. And I love the country music, bluegrass, gospel, and all of that. But anyway, it's her car. We're driving in her car, so we're listening to her channel. And I stopped while she was talking, and I was turning. Well, I didn't stop. I just quit listening to her and started turning up the radio. And what did they say? I said, what did they say? And she said, I don't know. I don't think I've heard that song. So I turned it up a little bit more, and I got a few of the words, got a few of the lyrics. And I said, that's amazing. I said, God's been speaking to me this week on that very same thing. And I wish I had the song, we'd play it, and you could listen to the lyrics. But I'm trying my best to do it with the help of the Holy Ghost to convey what the Lord has laid upon my heart. So that don't cost you anything. And thank you for standing. Philippians chapter number 3, verses number 10 through verse number 14. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I got a little note here that says, press on. Amen. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting, everybody say forgetting, those things, everybody say those things, which are behind. Can I read that again? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this night and this opportunity for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that you would just feed us that heavenly manna tonight. God, just let it rain down upon our spirit. God, help us to be receptive, submissive, and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we're grateful and thankful for these testimonies of praise, God, that gives us the assurance that you're still in the miracle performing business. And Father, we thank you for that. We ask now your blessing. We ask you, God, to anoint these lips of clay. God, to be able to bring the thought that I feel that you've placed on my heart tonight, God. And we'll be so careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you love Jesus, let him know it with a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. I love clapping for Jesus. Amen. He's worthy of all of our praise. If tonight I had a message title or a lesson topic, it would be this. Tired. How many can associate with being tired? How many uses that word quite often? How many uses that word when you're really not tired? You're not physically tired, but you're just tired of things happening. You're tired of the situation. You're tired of the direction. You're tired of this. You're tired of that. You're really not physically tired. What it is, you're upset with the way that things are going. Amen. And I know that we're Christians. I know that we're born again. But, we have to be truthful. Sometimes we as Christians still have that ability to get upset when things doesn't or don't seem to go the way that we want to. And I was thinking about this, and I love the scripture. I mean, probably every minister has preached concerning this particular topic. We hear it often quoted. We're not there yet. I have not apprehended, but thank God. One thing I do is forgetting those things behind me, and I'm pressing toward that mark, and I'm reaching forth for those things that are before me. And it sounds good, but is it actually applicable? Do we really follow through on that when we say that? And I got to thinking about it this week, and I got to thinking, you know, if I really believe that, and I do believe it because it's the Word of God, but if I really adhere to it, if I really encompass that into my life, then I would not have be worried about anything that's in my past. Can I say that again? If I really, truly grasp what the Spirit of God is speaking to us through this Word, and how many knows that we can find strength and encouragement through the Word? Amen. Sometimes that's the last place we go when it ought to be the very first place that we go when we need something from the Lord. If it not might just be a word, it might just be direction, it might be something lifting up our spirit. But if we go to the Scripture, we will find the strength, amen, and the wisdom and the direction that we need to take. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, if I truly, truly abided by that Scripture, then I would not be depressed. I would not be upset about things that God has already brought me through. Have I got anybody in here tonight that God's ever brought you through anything? Has He ever healed your body? Has He ever opened up a door of opportunity for you? Has He ever just put His loving arms around you and gave you comfort when you really needed comfort and couldn't get it anywhere else? Amen. God has done so very much for each and every one of us. Not only did Jesus Christ die on the cross for our salvation, but He said, I'll be a constant abode with you. I will send the Comforter in my name. How many is thankful for the Comforter? How many has had to rely on the Comforter time and time again? Even though you've been living for the Lord for many years, even though you've been serving Him and even in the ministry and whatever, we still need that comforting hand of God. We need Him to lift us up. We need Him to encourage us. And we thank God that He is able to do that. And I was thinking about this particular passage of Scripture, and I began to think about it in this connotation that I'm tired of looking back. I'm tired of looking back. I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, I want you to understand that when I say I'm tired of looking back, I'm not tired of what God brought me through, okay? I never, ever want to forget
what God has done for me in my past, how He lifted me up. As David said, you know, He brought me up out of a horrible pit. How many can relate to that? The sin nature of this world is a horrible pit, and thank God for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost that drew me up out of that pit, that horrible pit, and it placed my feet on a solid rock, a solid foundation. And He didn't leave me there, but He dusted me off, and He established my goings. Thank God that He not only saves us, fills us, but He establishes our goings. And I'm very thankful for that. Don't get me wrong. I do not want to forget where God brought me from. But my point is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I know they were very thankful that God brought them through the fire. But I don't believe that they spent the rest of their life musing over that fire. God had done delivered them of that. They may have praised Him that God brought them through the fire, and I believe probably every opportunity they had to testify, they would give that testimony. Brother Keith, don't ever get tired of testifying about what God done for you. Don't think that people don't need to hear that again, because they need to hear it as many times as God brings it to your attention. Thank Him for whatever He's done. And you other people that testify, don't worry about, well, people, oh, He's always testifying about that. Listen, when God does something for you, I believe He deserves the praise. Amen? And it's going to take me an eternity just to thank Him for what He's already done for me. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm pretty sure every person that they had given an opportunity. Let me tell you about the time that God brought me through the fire. But I don't believe, Brother Thomas, they went back and stood at that fiery furnace and you know, worried and fretted over that, man, I hope this don't happen to me again. I really don't see how we got through all of that. And I don't believe that the children of Israel, once they crossed the River Jordan into the promised Canaan land, amen, the land that flowed with milk and honey, they were very thankful about where God had brought them from and how that God opened up the path in the midst of the Red Sea and they walked across. But I don't believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't believe they went back down to the edge of the Red Sea and said, you know what, that was a terrible thing. I just don't know if I'm ever going to get over that or not. You know, I got hurt a long time ago. You know, I got a situation in my life. You know, we had to walk through that open sea, and I was fearful. I don't believe. Maybe they had an opportunity to give a testimony, and wouldn't you? If God split a Red Sea for you, don't you think you'd find somebody to testify and tell them how good and great God is, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Let me tell you, let me give a testimony of where God brought me from and how He made a way in the midst of the fire. And many, many times, all of these wonderful occasions and events that happened in the Bible, the miraculous events that God was able to bring these people through. But I believe there gets a time, and this time seemingly has caught up with me. I'm tired of looking back. I want to look forward. I want to keep my eyes and my focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and not fret and worry about things in my past that I have no control over whatsoever. And let me tell you, who enjoys us looking back? Amen. It's not so much Christ, because Christ wants us to remember where He brought us from. He wants us to remember every miracle He's performed in our life. He wants us to remember every door that He's opened. But I don't think He wants us to be a nervous wreck over things that happened in our past and hope that these things don't rise up again. Because that to me is showing a lack of faith, because I'm a firm believer in what God done yesterday, He can do tomorrow. And where I've been before, God will still make a way. I don't believe He'll just make one path and that's your one path limit in life. I believe He'll open a door, He'll open a path whenever we need it, whenever we rely on Him, whenever we put our faith and trust in Him. Amen. And know that God is still able. He's still in the healing business. He's still in the delivering business. He's still in the gift-giving business. Amen. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. You know, the church is getting today, they don't really want the gifts, because with the gifts comes responsibility. And with responsibility comes we put ourselves behind, amen, and put God first in our life. But if we want to see miracles, if we want to see revival, if we want to see souls saved again, then we have to let God be real in our lives. Quit looking back to the times that things didn't go your way, or quit looking back at what happened before. I'm tired of looking back. There was a time in my young life when my daddy worked at General Motors, actually Lakewood assembly plant in the body shop. Daddy bought a second-hand station wagon. And in this second-hand station wagon, he began to haul riders. That's the other men that worked there. And he actually hauled 8 riders with himself. And the station wagon seating capacity was 9. But in the Chevrolet models of those early years, back in the, I'm telling my age now, back in the late 50s, early 60s, the back seat was turned and you faced out looking backwards, not forwards. Brother Jim's nodding his head because he's in my generation. And we can remember those times. I don't know if other automobiles had it, but the Chevrolet did. And Daddy bought he hauled riders for several years, and then he bought a brand new 1963 station wagon. And guess what? The back seat still looked back. Now, 2 boys, my brother and myself, being the age that we were, we thought that was pretty cool. So we'd always climb over in the back seat. So let me tell you that a large part of my early childhood was spent looking in reverse. Looking where we had been. Fully trusting that Daddy was knowing where he was going, but we were sitting in the back, and, you know, partially I don't think it was the thrill so much of looking back where we had been as it was that we thought Daddy and Mama couldn't really see what we was doing back there. Because there was 2 seats between us, and I had our backs turned to them. So, but I thought about that. So much of my early childhood was spent going backwards, looking where we had just advanced, looking not where progress was being made, but looking where we had already passed, not looking and seeing new horizons, not looking and seeing the billboards. Think about it. If you're riding backwards, you're not catching what's going on. Anybody with me? Amen. I don't know if they have cars like that, but we were everything that Daddy and him saw fresh, everything that they saw new was secondhand to us. And we only saw the backside of it. Can I tell you that I begin to think about that? God, if I'm spending so much of my time looking back, still not really able to get over that trial that you've already delivered me from, by the way, or not be able to get past that hurt that happened years and years ago, rather than looking forward to what you've got in store for me, looking back at yesterday's blessings, when God is able to be refreshing and giving us new things, amen, if we have the faith to believe, to grow and to advance and to increase in knowledge and to increase in wisdom and to increase in the power of God. But not going down the road backwards. And I had a flashback. I don't know how old you get when you start having flashbacks, but I've had several. So evidently I've reached that age, but I had a flashback. My flashback was our cousin was riding with us. It was me, my brother Dennis, and my cousin Danny. And we were traveling from Rockmart back to Villarica because Danny, my cousin, was going to spend some few days with us. So evidently it must have been in the summertime because school wasn't even consideration, I guess, because we were coming from Rockmart to Villarica. So we were going down the road, and there was a car behind us, and Mother and them first noticed it would come up on us and then back off. Come back on us, and Mother looked in the rearview mirror. She's in the rearview mirror, but me and Dennis and Danny had a bird's eye view. And we were hollering. We were squealing. And she said, "What in the world is going on?" And one of us said, "Mama, he's got a snake on the front of his hood." And he would get up just as close as he could because he saw us 3 boys in the back seat of that station wagon going down the road. And he was laughing because he had an old dead snake wrapped. How many knows what hood ornaments are? Do they make? I don't think they make them anymore. But a Pontiac had a head on it, and some had a bird on it, or you know, that's what a hood ornament was. But evidently, he had killed this snake, wrapped it around that hood ornament, and he was getting his thrills, sliding up just as close as he could to the back of that station wagon and scaring us boys to death. And when he found out that it scared us, it tickled him all that much more. I want us to switch gears a little bit now. If we had been in the other seat looking forward. Are you with me? Not looking back where we had been. Not looking back toward temptation. Not looking back to what Satan is trying to scare us with. But looking and focused on where we were going instead of where we have been, looking for the miracles that's going to be on the horizon rather than the hardships that we've had to go through. You know, a lot of people spend more time grumbling about what things have gone bad in their life rather than praising God about what He's going to do in their future. Then we wouldn't have been alarmed when old Satan, when the snake came up there and tried to scare us because we wasn't looking where we were supposed to be. We had our backs turned to the future. We had our backs turned to God's grace. We had our backs turned to the miracles before us. And we were still stuck in the past. Well, I'll say amen anyway. God began to remind me of that. Brother Eddie, you're spending too much time worrying over these things that I have already given you victory over. Trials that I have already brought you through, and yet they're part of your daily routine when you think about these things. Because let me tell you something about Satan. If he finds out something bugs you, he's going to get just as close to you as he can. That old car, I can see it now. He's just laughing. Because he can bug you. Because he can upset you. He'll bring up, how many knows what I'm talking about? Somebody inevitably will bring up something in your past that you've been trying to forget for years, and boom, all of it just explodes again. Only one. Bless your heart. Brother Thomas, me and you agree. Me and you know what it's about, right? You'll just be going along. Everything's going really, really good. Praising the Lord, glorifying God. Got a little jingle in your pocket. It's Friday. Taking your wife out to eat and everything's going good. All of a sudden happens and man, your mind just absolutely reverts back to that same old situation. And there's Satan just laughing. Just laughing at you. Because he's brought it to your remembrance again. Well, I'm tired of looking back. I'm tired of looking back. The older I get, the more I need to look toward the future. Amen. I don't need to dwell on these things, dwell on all those problems, dwell on all those same old things that Satan is always trying to upset us with. I need to put my mind and my focus on Jesus Christ. What have you got in store, Lord? Amen. I can't wait till tomorrow. Glory to God. I know that it's going to be better. I know that God is making a way. I'm not going to worry about these situations. I'm placing them in the hands of God. Glory to God. He's brought me through the fire. He brought me through the Red Sea. He brought me through sickness. He brought me through depression. He's brought me through all of these hardships. Glory to God. I am too blessed to be stressed about anything that's happened in the past. God has given me victory. Hallelujah. How many's ever rode a train? Real train. Not the little bitty train. Well, I guess it's same holds true. Got the little bitty train and a little bitty engineer and a little bitty engine and all. But I'm talking about a regular train. Or if you have not ridden a train, how many has ever seen a freight train? How many of us have said, thank God, there's a freight train? Man, I dearly needed this freight train because I'm running 15 minutes late today, and here's the longest freight train I've ever seen in my life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to get fussed out when I get to work. Now, most freight trains usually are the point of frustration. To the fact that, how many's ever done this? I may be the only one. I'm going to see how long this thing takes to get by. And in my mind, I'm going to contact somebody. This is ridiculous. You know. Just maybe me and Sister Linda and Brother Thomas. We've sat there and looked at the freight train and been frustrated because whatever. But a train, where does it go? Follows the tracks. You ever seen a train in the middle of town and say, whoops, I think I'll just turn around and go back? No, it follows the tracks. Well, how many knows enough about a train that the way that you get it to change directions, there is a switchman. You know what a switchman is? Pulls the lever and the train changes direction. I read something one time that said, Satan ain't nothing but a switchman. Boy, you just clickety clickety clicking along. Does that sound like a train? I'm gonna spare you. I'm not gonna preach as long as it takes a freight train to pass through, okay? That ought to thrill you. Clickety 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 clickety. Boy, you're just heading in the right direction. Everything's going smooth and wonderful. Life is a breeze. Boy, this is good. I'm just enjoying life. And all of a sudden, without any warning, the switchman pulls the lever. And that clickety clickety click turns into the longest heel that you've ever seen in your life. And you're wondering if you're ever going to make it to the top of that heel. All of that smooth riding, that anticipation, the thrill of having good things go your way, all of a sudden is changed because the direction changed. Satan loves to do that to you. Amen. He loves to mess up your victory. He loves to mess up your easygoing situation in life. And if the reason he does is because he's found out that it works. Causes us to quit looking at the future, causing us to quit focusing on the goodness and the mercy of God, and to get our attention on ourselves and our problems and our situations and that long, long hill that we have to climb. So that in itself plays along with the same concept of looking back. Looking back. You know, I know we don't mean it, but words mean something. And so many times we talk ourselves or allow ourselves to get in a negative position, in a position of frustration, aggravation, waiting on the train, waiting in the line. You know, I've adopted a saying from an old buddy of mine, and I use it quite often. Lady, that light's not going to get any greener. It's as green as it's going to get. We need to go. I'm trying to lay off of that. I really am. Because a little thing like that doesn't need to upset my day. Okay? And that's just a little minute thing. But Satan, the switchman, likes to bring all of these things that causes frustration in your life. You're trying to get over a confrontational situation, let's call it. Let's call it a dispute. Let's call it an argument. Call it what you want to. But you're trying to get over that, and you're saying, Lord, help me. I'm sorry. I let my emotions get the best of me, and Lord, just, you know, I don't want to do it again, and forgive me, and I want to go forward. And then you get victory over it. And then you walk into a store or a restaurant and you sit down and you look and there's the person. Brother Thomas, it's just me and you. Nobody else has a clue what you and I are talking about. But have you been there? What do you think? Everything that happened that you done got victory over wells up again. That switchman has done switched that track. That easy going has turned into a mountain. And you said, Lord, what am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn around and walk out of here. I'm tired of looking back. I'm tired of looking back where I've been hurt. I'm tired of looking back where I've been discouraged. I'm tired of looking back where things didn't go like I all thought they ought to go. Amen. I want to look forward. I want to press on. I want to stretch forth. I want to press toward that high mark of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. This one thing I want to do, I want to forget. I don't want to just put them behind me. I want to forget them. Amen. They don't mean anything anymore. They're impeding my spiritual growth. They're not allowing me to focus on what I need to be focusing on. And so many times it comes up in the conversation, the things that we'd already got victory over. We already come through that Red Sea. We've already come out of that fiery furnace. But then the switchman or Satan or whatever you want to call changes the thing around, and we're faced with that before. Come on. If you've got victory over it, praise God. Go forward. Press on. Look toward the future. Press toward this one thing I do. And I have read it. I have applied it. I thought. Come on. Thank God that He checks us every once in a while. Thank God that He convicts our spirit. And He says things like, do you really believe what you're preaching? Do you really believe what you're reading? Are you really applying that to your life? Are you just praising the Lord and reading the Scripture and saying, thank you, Lord? Are you actually putting that, implying that, or applying that in your everyday life, in your everyday walk with the Lord? So I want to make a conscious effort this week. I want to forget those things. And when somebody brings it up, I just say, you know what? I don't even talk about it because God's done give me victory over that. God's done brought me through that. I'm not going back to that. Now, I'm not saying that I'm able to forget it. But spiritually, I've got to forget it. I've got to put it back where it needs to be back. Amen. And the best way I can do that is revert back to that three-seat station wagon. When everybody else is looking forward, and I'm still sitting there looking, living, dreaming in the past. Amen. When I ought to be turning around, looking what's next around the curve, what God has in store for me, what's next on His agenda, not my agenda, but what God has in store for me. Amen. Looking forward with anticipation, knowing that God is going to make a way. It doesn't matter what I face. God's bigger than any problem. God's bigger than any mountain. God's bigger than any situation. I'm going to put my faith and trust in Him. Lord, give me that ability to look forward and not look back. Just be thankful for what You brought me through, but not dwell on it. Not let it upset me anymore. Not let it frustrate me. Not let it try to get my victory. Amen. I'm going forward in the Lord. Press on. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. But that's not the end of it. It's one thing to put those things in the past. The second thing is to reach forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth. Putting forth emotion. Putting forth some energy. Lord, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Come on. When we pray, we ought to receive it. Amen. Lord, I'm putting it in Your hands. I'm putting my faith and trust in You. I'm calling it done in the name of Jesus. God will honor that faith. Amen. It may not make sense at the time, but God will honor that faith if we put our faith and trust in Him. I may be the only one that has come to that decision that I'm tired of looking back, but I'm ready to look forward. I'm ready to get up each and every day and say, thank You, Lord, for another day, another opportunity. God, You've brought me through so many things. Don't misunderstand this statement tonight or this sermon that I'm not telling you to forget what God's done for you. By no means am I telling you to that. I'm telling you to forget all those hard things that's in the back. Amen. It's time to go forward. It's time to press on. Amen. In other words, don't go back and look over the same old battlefields that God has done give you victory over. Look forward to new horizons and new things in Christ Jesus. Do you love Him? Do you really love Him? Do you love Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your body? Then praise Him tonight. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God bless you. We love you. Philippians 3:10-14. Tired of looking back, prepared to look forward. Would you stand? Thank you for coming on a Wednesday night. Amen. Brother Jim, if you would come forward tonight, dismiss us with a word of prayer. If you have a need, please come and know this altar is open. We'll pray for you about any situation that may be on your heart or on your mind. One thing I want you to always know, amen, we believe in prayer. We believe in praying one for another. If you have a need, please come forward and we'll pray with you. May God bless you.